It's time for some Collective Wisdom, a podcast advancing the cannabis revolution one conversation at a time. We all benefit from sharing knowledge and experiences. So if you want to learn about the business of cannabis from those in the trenches, you've come to the right place. Here's your host, Lisa Tolner, co-founder of SensiChew.
Today, my guest is Ken Wang, CEO and co-founder of My Green Network. Now, Ken's company offers expert guidance, essential business support, and access to an extensive network for cannabis startups wanting to build a business. Ken is a seasoned entertainment and cannabis attorney with more than a decade of experience. His past successes include negotiating multi-million dollar talent deals for TV hits such as The Voice, Parenthood, and The Office. Additionally, he has led a $75 million cinema technology IPO on the NASDAQ and secured more than $100 million in financing for a deal that involved Disney, Universal, Paramount, and other Hollywood studios. Specific to cannabis, he has structured and obtained cannabis licenses in both Colorado and California, including navigating compliance and strategic planning. Through My Green Network, Ken aims to provide a platform that simplifies the cannabis business building process where entrepreneurs can share ideas, collaborate on projects, and spearhead innovation. Ken Wang, welcome to Collective Wisdom.
Oh, Lisa, thank you so much for having me today.
Well, let's dive right in. What led you to come up with the idea for My Green Network?
It's very interesting because I started the business in 2013 in Colorado. Colorado was the first state that legalized adult use marijuana. So when we started the business at that time, everything was just wild, wild west. We actually had to train the fire department on our extraction processes, and we had to actually train the city on our actual business. And that was interesting to me because cities created this whole like policy and legal structure, but they didn't actually know how the business was operating. So we were basically teaching the city how they should govern us, you know, in our type of businesses. So we had to go through, you know, a lot of trials and tribulations with planning commission, city council, building and planning, safety, fire, and police. And all those things cost a lot of time and money. So we did that in 2013. We were pretty successful. We started scaling the business into California when, you know, the medical market started softening up and adult use was on the horizon. So we moved into Northern California near Sacramento, and we had to go through the same trials and tribulations. The city government wasn't familiar with the business. We had to teach them our business. We had to basically do the same thing we did in Colorado, but in California. And we had to spend a lot of money. We had to negotiate different terms with property owners to secure the property, you know, get the space. Luckily, I'm a lawyer by trade, so we saved some money on legal costs there. But just going through that whole process, it costs a lot of time and like money. And if you're not an expert in that whole like industry, you could easily burn about $1 million to $2 million right off the bat without even like starting your business. So this spawned this whole idea of My Green Network, where we wanted to create a really cool incubator shared use space. So people didn't have to go through all those different trials and tribulations to get like licensing and start their business. Because there's all these entrepreneurs in the US, everyone has like great ideas. We're the country of marketplace of ideas and creativity. Everyone should have the opportunity, you know, to pursue their dreams and start a business. So with our facility, we basically create a shortcut. People can come into our facility for literally a fraction of a cost. They don't have to worry about securing the property, negotiating with city council. We do all that hard work. All they need to do is come into the facility, create their product, and we do the rest. We'll handle compliance. We'll handle like legal. We'll handle relationships with the city. And our clients, all they focus on is like branding and marketing and then creating their product.
So would you say then that a would-be cannabis entrepreneur doesn't need a license before they become one of your members, or do they need to be licensed first?
Oh, they don't need any license. And the beauty of this project is we help entrepreneurs get their own city license and state license. They just work in conjunction with our umbrella license. So that's the cool part. People get their own cannabis license, and it's much easier than getting like a full-fledged regular manufacturing, cultivation, or like distribution license in the state of California.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, they come under your umbrella license. So you must be, are you micro business licensed?
It's a type 6, like non-volatile manufacturing license. And under like the California regulatory scheme, it allows for shared use licenses to work in conjunction with the Type 6 manufacturing license. So all our clients, they would be classified as a Type S shared use, and they would work together with our license, but they would independently have their own state license and city license.
So you give them a shortcut to get kickstarted right away and eventually obtain their own license, but they can get kickstarted under yours without having to wait. Did I understand that correctly?
When our clients come into our facility, they will already have their own city license and state license, which we help them navigate the whole process. So it goes hand in hand. Okay. There won't be like one step first and a second step later. Everything will happen concurrently.
With the facilities that you're going to be opening and expanding, and it's shared use, so they don't necessarily go to the office every day, how many businesses are you projecting you'll be able to support out of one facility?
Currently, we'll be able to support 30 businesses, and we can scale up to 50 total like per month. Our model is very interesting because it's very flexible. If a company wanted to come in and work for one day a month, they could do that. If they wanted to come in for 1 week a month, they could do that. If they wanted to come in every day for like a whole month, they could also do that. So some of the clients that we work with, for example, they want to make like a gummy. They can probably produce about like 5,000 gummies like a day. So they don't need to come in every day to make a good batch in order to like resell on the market. They can probably come in for 2 or 3 days, have a nice batch size of about 15,000 pieces, and they can just use that and sell it. When they need to come back, they can come back the next month or just schedule a time when they want to come in and just rent out that space again.
With the advantages that your company is offering, besides just a general shortcut, is there a typical area that you have found has been the most problematic for entrepreneurs and startups? Like, is it compliance? Is it dealing with getting your state license under control? What would you say has been the toughest hurdle for entrepreneurs?
I think it's a combination of ops and also compliance, because obviously our market is like very, very regulated. So you need to follow the compliance rules to the T, but you have to mix that in with ops. And sometimes like the rules, they keep changing. For example, January 1st, 2020, all packaging needed to be, child resistant. So that changed some like workflows with some companies, and it kind of affected certain supply chains. Because for example, if you purchased a bunch of packaging from overseas and then you have like a whole stock of inventory, now you have to order like a new one. And you probably need to change some labels around, change your design. So that affected like your workflow and like your process. But like in terms of like the ops, I think that people need to understand the rules. And it was very hard or challenging to train a really solid group of people to be consistent with rules, but also try to scale up your business at the same time. So things just take time and people were just like rushing. Now I think that there's more experience because we've been a semi-mature market for like the past 2 years. So things are getting a lot better. But I think those were the challenges in the beginning.
Now, with COVID-19 and the pandemic creating absolute upheaval globally in every industry, and our industry is no different, although we have been allowed to be somewhat essential, Northern California now has deemed that only medical can go in or do curbside service. That may change in the weeks to come in SoCal. Maybe it'll get lifted. No one's quite sure, but it's really wreaking havoc on every aspect of the industry. What do you see and how does this come into play for your future entrepreneurs and what you're doing with My Green Network?
Well, to take a step back, I think the government's classification as an essential service is very, very compelling. We look at a lot of states, Massachusetts, California, Colorado, that made this category of essential service, which cannabis like fell under. And why I think it's compelling is because I think it sets, a very good precedent that these individual states, they're actually recognizing cannabis as more of a mainstream and accepted product. And I think that precedent is going to influence future federal legalization. So I think that actually was a really, really important step for our industry and for the future.
And what would your predictions be on how the industry might evolve or change besides just from a regulatory standpoint and a descheduling standpoint, which I couldn't agree more. It was really a move in the right direction. But what other predictions or changes do you see that are going to come out of the virus and how we work differently? And this might also relate to how your network of professionals work differently. Do you see something that's going to change there?
I think like obviously like safety, protocol, those concerns are definitely there. And you'll have to add on more SOPs in order to ensure safety, sanitation. But one aspect that I think is very, very interesting is looking at the market as a whole and looking at whether there's interdependence on, let's just say, foreign supply chains. And when you look at cannabis, just for example, California, you look at the supply chain, everything is contained within California. So other traditional businesses that had dependence on foreign products, for example, from China, they're kind of stuck right now because China hasn't really turned on its economy completely. People are still waiting. There's like lag in supply chain. But you look at cannabis, we have the cultivators here, you know, they grow the product. We have distributors that can distribute that product to manufacturers or retail. So we have a really cool self-contained ecosystem with a complete supply chain that allows us to foster our business. So I think the businesses will continue to get stronger. And I think it's really good that we're relying on a self-contained ecosystem so that the supply chain doesn't get affected. So we can actually achieve our potential, you know, as a market.
Well, and that was just sort of a lucky break, right? We were all frustrated with some of those limitations of the supply chain, right?
Absolutely.
And now this tight state-defined supply chain is turning out to be a blessing. So who would have been able to see that in a crystal ball? What other trends are you seeing for the rest of this year?
There's a couple different trends that I'm seeing. I think the studies into separate cannabinoids are very, very interesting. And I have to give kudos to Sensi Chu because you guys have always been at the forefront of like innovation. And I know you guys always include different cannabinoids and products like CBC, CBD,
right.
CBG. And I think that's very, very important for the industry because everything is so nascent. It's still like new. And there are essential benefits from these cannabinoids. It's just that we haven't had enough studies to find out exactly what they do. But I think the potential to have some type of benefit medication from plant-based material is very, very compelling. So I think the different cannabinoids research, that's going to be very important. CBN for sleep, for example, CBG for anti-inflammatory. But also I think nanotechnology is going to be very, very important too. I know there's different types of nanotechnology and people are still trying to refine the whole process. But I think that it would help producers and manufacturers because they would be able to control dosing a little bit better. I think the efficacy of like the product would be increased because the body's absorption, which would be at a much higher rate, is beneficial. And then also in terms of like the dosing, it could be like more exact and more consistent. And I think that's what the consumers need, a very consistent and reliable product, kind of like an Advil or like a Tylenol.
No, consistency is everything. And it's kind of been a vision of ours from day one is how do you get to the consistency level and the trust level that you would have of any product that you'd find on CVS or Walgreens? And how do you get that level of consistency? It's really what it boils down to, because that's what consumers expect
Absolutely.
To go in and know that it's going to do the same thing, taste the same way, and have the same effect every time. So that's a big part of really any manufacturing operation. Consistency is paramount.
I love the innovation that Sensi Chews has had over the years, because I've been a loyal fan even before, you know, adult use, and to see the progression of the company has been very impressive. Always pushing the envelope, always trying new things, always exploring new channels.
Well, thank you so much. And folks, that was an unsolicited plug, just so you know. Thanks, Ken.
Absolutely.
I want to go back to your founding and the network, because I think the incubator concept is something that is particularly valuable for this industry because it's a wacky industry. There's the regulatory side is complicated. Navigating the licenses can be a little tricky, but there is nothing really easy about manufacturing that's got 1,000 different moving parts. So being able to help a startup through those steps is really important. I see this akin to technology incubators. And that's really my roots. And I find it that it has a lot of similarities. Were you inspired by technology incubators when you were thinking about this?
Yes, I was definitely inspired by the technology incubators because it was for the first time when we had that first movement for incubators that people were able to connect into this community, collaborate, and share amazing ideas. And I always go back to this concept of marketplace ideas from Supreme Court Justice like Douglas. He basically said that America is great because we have marketplace of ideas, which allows innovation and people to share ideas. And that's why our country is amazing. We're always innovating, sharing ideas, pushing the envelope. And we look at the results, right? We have like Facebook, we have like Google and all these amazing internet companies. And they were basically spawned by collaboration, communication, and a community. So using the technology incubator as like a model, we wanted to do the same thing for cannabis because it's still like a new industry. We're still on the brink of the iceberg and there's so many amazing and creative ideas that we don't know yet that will come about. One of our clients that I spoke with, she had like an amazing idea. She wanted to create a cannabis hair care product because her clients were always asking her about it. So she started doing research on how different cannabinoids can influence hair roots and help preserve your hair. So she wanted to offer some type of like natural like offering using some type of cannabinoids like CBD and also like THC to create this product. And when I think about it, when I go to different stores like MedMen or Stizzy or these other dispensaries, I haven't seen that product yet. So I think that's a great idea. And there's still thousands and thousands of other ideas out there. And we want to foster that by providing this really cool platform.
If you could change one thing that's happening in the cannabis industry, and the reason why I want to ask you this question is because you've seen all the facets, right? You've seen the branding side. You've been part of the legal side, what it takes to get a license side. You've seen it in Colorado and California. So you've had a unique exposure to all the facets of what it takes operationally and so forth to get a business off the ground and then keep it running. So from that perspective, what would you say is some of the biggest challenges ahead?
This first one I'll answer, and I'm pretty sure everyone agrees. First one is probably taxes. If we could somehow work with city governments to, you know, reduce taxes, I think it would help out the top line for all the different companies so they can reinvest in the company, use that money for R&D, and then increase their business. I think the second thing would be collaboration. I think our market's hyper-competitive. I think that it's very difficult for certain companies to connect with others because, as you said before, you know, it's a little bit wacky. You have people from, you know, traditional markets, or you have people from like the new market. They're trying to coalesce, work together, but sometimes it's not the perfect synergy. I think it's still getting there, but I think collaboration and communication and working with each other is going to be very, very important for the future.
Ken, do you have a special announcement you'd like to share with us?
So our facility is going to be open late June 2020, and we have space right now for about 30 different cannabis companies. Right now, we have about 21 different companies signed up, so we have space for like 9 more companies. So right now, we're offering for like limited time this early bird special where certain clients and entrepreneurs, they would get lower rates at this time. So if other companies are interested in signing up with us, it doesn't have to be an entrepreneur. You know, it could be other companies wanting to scale into California. We have clients from London, for example, one from Mexico, 2 from Canada that are coming into our facility. So if they wanted to sign up with us, this would be like a really great time to join our community, to collaborate together, and then pursue all their dreams.
Cool. And how can listeners learn more about the opportunity?
They can follow us at Instagram on Official Green Network. And right now we're actually doing a charity raffle promotion for the COVID crisis. So we're giving away a free $200 gift certificate to the winners. And we're also going to donate some money to the different hospitals and medical care workers that are helping during this crisis.
Oh, it sounds fabulous. Well, Ken, thank you so much for your time today. I enjoyed our conversation and learning how cannabis startups and entrepreneurs can accelerate their business with the services your company offers. We've been speaking with Ken Wang, CEO of My Green Network, a cannabis business incubator in Southern California. This is your host, Lisa Tolner. Thank you for tuning in to Collective Wisdom. Until next time, be well.
That's this week's episode of the Collective Wisdom Podcast. Join us each week for another episode on OC Talk Radio, streaming on Thursdays at 3 p.m., and you can download Collective Wisdom wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to visit cacollectivewisdom.com or email us at collectivewisdompodcast@gmail.com to join the conversation. Thank you for listening.